Please be seated. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Have you ever hidden from God? There was a certain husband and wife who once hid from God. With the taste of forbidden fruit still in their mouths, they sewed fig leaves together to hide their nakedness, the evidence that they had sinned. And when they heard the Lord's footsteps drawing near, into the bushes they flew, and there they hid. There was also a certain preacher who hid from God. With the voice of the Lord still echoing in his ears, he ran to the harbor and sailed as fast as he could away from God and away from where God had called him. But it wasn't enough to be hiding on that ship heading the opposite way, and so he crawled into the belly of that ship. And it wasn't enough to be hiding in the belly of that ship, and so he closed his eyes and tried to hide in sleep. There was yet another man who hid. A warrior he was, and a man's man, skilled also in the Word of God. And yet his hiding was of a different kind. He sowed no fig leaves, nor hid in any bushes. He did not flee by sailboat or pull a blanket over his head. This man hid in plain sight. He hid behind a smile, behind his good reputation, behind a spiritual facade. He had sinned, and sinned grievously. But rather than come clean with God, he hid within himself. Perhaps you know a thing or two about this kind of hiding. All it requires is quietly closing oneself off. In fact, the human heart is such that you can do it without even really noticing you're doing it. With your lips, you still draw near, but your heart has wandered far off. To offer a very concrete example, you might sit in church and listen attentively to the preacher. You might be able to recall and quote specific lines. You could even paraphrase the law and the gospel sections. You hear every word that the preacher is preaching, and yet listen to none of it. It enters your ears, it gets organized in your head, and not a drop of it touches your soul. You closed yourself off. You heard the sound of his voice, and you hid. You hid in plain sight. Not only do we hide from God so that his word does not find our hearts, we also hide from that voice within that ever accuses us. We cover up our sins with excuses and justifications and reasons. Under these specific circumstances and given such and such, for me, I suppose, just this once, it's okay. We concoct arguments. We tell ourselves everyone else is doing it. We tell ourselves that's just the way the world works. Or we say to ourselves, it's really no big deal. But it is a big deal. Because no matter how hard we try to hide, to cover our sinful tracks, that internal accusation always finds us, always hunts us down. And along with it comes all those wonderful feelings. That searing feeling deep in your heart, that upset turning in your stomach, that anxiety that keeps you up, that deep aching in your soul, the long-lasting emptiness. Time doesn't heal it. In fact, time heals just about nothing, but that's for another night. Time doesn't heal it, and neither do all the other remedies we try. TV and internet, alcohol and prescriptions, especially in Orange County, prescriptions and more prescriptions, food and exercise, hobbies and vacations, a new woman, a new career, a move to another state, countless ways we try to distract ourselves and to self-medicate. But what the psalmist says remains true for each one of us. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all the day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. Whose hand is it that the psalmist is talking about? Whose hand is it that's so heavy upon us as we hide, that troubles us as we self-medicate? God's hand. That's the trouble with hiding. That's the terrible burden that the hider must bear, though he hide behind the smile. There's no real peace, just temporary distraction. There's no real rest, just increasing weakness. There's no safe covering, for whatever covering we erect is slowly crushed by the increasing weight of God's hand. Why? Because He loves you too much to let you hide. He loves you too much to leave you desperately trying to weave fig leaves together to cover yourself. He loves you too much to let you stay hidden in those bushes just waiting to die. He loves you too much to let you board that ship and sleep soundly in your sin. He loves you too much to let you sail away in peace on a journey that leads to hell. He loves you that much, and yet somehow we get this crazy idea that if we come out from hiding, if we come clean with God and confess our sins, not in the neat, tidy, sanitized, pre-thought-out way that we would like to, but if we simply confess our sins as they are. Here's the terrible idea we have, this crazy idea, that God will be furious with us and trouble us all the more. In fact, something close to the opposite is the truth. God wants nothing more than truth in the inmost heart, truth in the inner being. God wants nothing more than for you to come out of hiding, to confess your sins to Him, as a dear little child would come and confess to his tender and merciful Father. God, Father, forgive me. Make it right. God wants nothing more than to have you come to Him in this way and to forgive you, to cleanse you, and to begin to heal you from your sins and from all those foolish self-remedies you tried. It's one thing to be forgiven. It's another thing to be healed. Forgiveness can be instantaneous. Healing sometimes not. And that's a theme we'll reflect on this Lenten season as we go through the penitential psalms. God desires to heal you. In fact, God is more in agreement with you than you might think, because He too wants your sins to be covered. He too wants you to be hidden. But not with excuses and deceit and lies. Rather, He wants to cover and blot out all your iniquities with atoning blood, the atoning blood of His own beloved Son. This is what God says to the prophet Isaiah and to you. I, even I, am He who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and remembers your sins no more. This too is what David discovered, that man who hid himself from God in plain sight, the man who hid from God within himself. He finally realized the truth about our God and the truth about confessing sins to him. This is what David writes. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. And you forgave the iniquity of my sin. What God does in Christ Jesus is this. He sets us free. Free to be completely honest with Him. Honest with Him and without fear. I can be honest with God about my sinful nature and the deepest evils that I find in my heart. I can be honest with Him about my sins, even those of which I am deeply ashamed. I can be honest with Him about the lies that I've bought into and the excuses I've made. This is what David means when he speaks of the man in whose spirit there is no deceit. There's no need to be deceitful. None at all. Christ's death is so perfect, so complete, that He has made atonement for every one of your sins, past, present, and future. Yes, He has made atonement not just for your sins, but for you. All of you. Every part of you. Paul writes, where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. Not that that means that we should try to get in a foot race with grace and outrun it. And yet, that's exactly the point. You'll never be able to. Where your sin has increased, God's grace toward you has only increased all the more. Nothing in you is hidden from God. And He has already taken it upon Himself and into His own flesh that He might take it away from you and put it away forever, once and for all, upon the cross, blotting out all of it with His own priceless blood. This is why the Scriptures say there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And that means when you confess your sins to God, He is not going to condemn you. In Christ Jesus, God Himself covers up our sin and sees it no more. In Christ Jesus, God Himself becomes our hiding place. In Christ Jesus, God reckons and counts us, to be godly. Listen for these themes as David concludes his psalm. Therefore, let everyone who is godly offer prayer to you at a time when you may be found. Surely in the rush of great waters they shall not reach him, for you are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance. A remarkable thing happens at the end of Psalm 32. If you've ever read or prayed Psalm 32, then you know just how surprising it is. Because as you're praying along, suddenly God turns to you and speaks. And this is what He says. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Be not like a horse or a mule without understanding, which must be curbed with bit and bridle, or it will not stay near you. Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but steadfast love surrounds the one who trusts in the Lord. Be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. This Lenten season, let us not hide from God, let us hide in God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.